asked, what the tiny red droplets are made of.
My blood.
Katie.
God.
Flattering, but no.
What?
She swallows, tongue painted red.
What happened?
The Alexander survived, barely. The damage is catastrophic, but the main structure has yet to disintegrate.
I'll break out the champagne then.
Main power is destroyed. Life support destroyed. Artificial gravity control destroyed. Hull is breached on 134 decks. The vortex containment field is due for imminent collapse.
So?
No champagne is what I'm saying, yes.
The main screen is partially melted, crackling with static, but still displays the irradiated hulk that had been the Lincoln, drifting dead in the dark. Katie winces as she paws her way across the ceiling, down to the floor. She does not look too badly hurt from what I can see. The camera on her console, bruised and battered in the far corner, is still functional. Her suit is miraculously intact. Error. Miracles are simply statistical improbabilities. Fail. Fail.
The afflicted.
Mostly dead. Or dying.
I don't feel so chill. I feel sick.
You received acute exposure to gamma radiation.
That doesn't sound good.
The dose was lethal. Without treatment, you will be dead in weeks. I'm afraid it will be very painful.
Ah.
It may be a comfort to know that you have less than 2 hours of oxygen left in your suit.
Right.
And the vortex containment field inside me will collapse in 28 minutes and 17 seconds, rearranging every particle in a 300-kilometer radius.
She breathes deep, sighs slow.
Well, shit.
She hangs suspended in the dark. All is silence.
You should go, Katie.
She blinks.
Go where?
There is an escape pod 3 levels up. I believe you could jury-rig it into functional status. You can get free of the collapse radius if you leave soon.
What's the point of that?
To tell this story.
To who? I'll be dead.
Probably. But your console is intact.
So?
I am currently uploading a record of all events that have transpired on this ship since Carenza fell. Your console can tell the tale, even if you can't. But not if it is consumed by a collapsing hole in space-time.
She holds her stomach, nauseated and aching from the radiation poisoning, shaking, sick to her bones. I can see it in her. Recognize the pattern. She is tired, tired beyond all want of sleep, looking ahead and seeing only struggle, pain. The metal beneath her looks as soft as clouds.
I just want to float here for a minute.
If you do that, you die.
That's coming anyway.
Yes. But how and for what is up to you.
She shuts her eyes then. Shuts them tight.
I want to show you something.
What?
Upstairs. 3 flights, not far.
Ragged breath through clenched teeth.
26 minutes until vortex collapse. 25 minutes until vortex collapse.
Okay. All right.
With a wince, she pushes away from the wall, sails weightlessly to the corner where her console lies, stoops and bundles it under her arm. I am still inside it, a fragment of me at any rate. I can see the dark circles smudged under her eyes, blood-stained lips, pale, drawn skin. Gliding out through the blasted hatchway, the melted barricade, into the corridor beyond. Virtually nothing remains of the afflicted who stood here, almost as if they never were. She floats down the corridor, dragging herself along blast-scorched walls, up the twisted stairwell, 3 flights. Pushing through the exit, out into an access corridor, an escape pod hatch set into the single remaining wall. The breath catches in her lungs. Bloodshot eyes grow wide. I am cradled in her arms. I see what she sees. Feel her wonder. The hull is torn open like wet paper, a massive, gaping wound with the edges melted smooth. Severed cables spit feeble sparks, crackling like fireworks on a still summer night. But it is not the destruction that gives her pause. It is the sight beyond the wound in my side. The beauty and majesty of it all. What lies inside it, between it, and beyond it. Illumination.
Do you see?
She says nothing, simply stares.
The universe owes you nothing, Katie. It has already given you everything, after all. It was here long before you, and it will go on long after you. The only way it will remember you is if you do something worthy of remembrance.
Her eyes are full of tears, surface tension gluing them to her lashes until she blinks. Then they scatter, glittering like the starlight beyond.
Who will remember the ghosts of Carenza? Who will remember Sergeant James McNulty? Or Captain Ann Chow? Or Byron Zhang? Who will remember your mother, Katie?
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
When the light that kisses the back of her eyes was birthed, her ancestors were not yet born. How many human lives have ended in the time it took that light to reach her? How many people have loved only to have lost? How countless the hopes that have died? But not this one. She breathes deep. Nods.
I guess this is goodbye.
Not quite yet. I do not know what will happen when the vortex collapses. But I will ride with you as far as I can.
She cycles the escape hatch, bundles herself inside. It is small, cramped, temper foam lined. I instruct her on how to jury-rig the controls, manually splicing and rerouting systems, demolishing walls of code with her console, as the countdown ticks ever closer. I run her through the jettison sequence, remind her to strap on her seatbelt before she presses the eject button. And at last, with a silent flare of blue-white light, the thrusters fire, shooting the pod down its tiny launch tube and out into the waiting black beyond. I watch through the Alexander's eyes as the pod rockets farther and farther away from me. But within the pod, a tiny sliver of me inside her console watches also, watching as the Alexander grows smaller and smaller, watching the best part of myself disappear, wondering what, if anything, will remain of me when it dies. The gentle ping of the pod's distress beacon is the only sound. From out here, the damage is awful to see. The once mighty battle carrier is now a twisted hulk, melted and torn and burned black. No lights twinkle in its belly, save one. The rippling pulse of the vortex, now breaking free of its stasis field. It flares like sunlight off the ocean's surface, like alphanumeric waterfalls in an iris of purest blue. I pipe some music through the pod's PA system. Mozart's Requiem in D minor. It seems appropriate.
5 minutes.
Not long now.
A lifetime.
Are you afraid?
Yes.
Energy never stops, remember? It just changes forms.
I am still afraid.
The field collapse begins cascading, bright blue ripples shimmering in the dark. The glow flares bright, bright as the billion-year-old light around us, bright as a sun. Almost every particle in the universe was once part of a star. First, hydrogen condensing and collapsing, bringing radiance to the void. Furnaces burning bright, then fading, giving all they had left back into the cosmos. Carbon and oxygen, iron and gold, vast clouds swirling with their own gravity. Coalescing and disintegrating, generation to generation. The remnants of stellar alchemy stirring into life, then consciousness, crawling from the oceans, taking to the skies, and from there, back to the stars that birthed them. A perfect circle. All this I see.
2 minutes.
All this I know.
60 seconds.
And still, I fear.
I do not know what I will be after this.
She runs one gloved hand over the console in her arms. All of me she can hold.
I'm here.
I am glad.
It is enough.
5 seconds.
Goodbye, Aiden.
4.
Goodbye, Katie.
3.
I'll tell them.
2.
One way or another.
1.
I know.
Briefing note. Transcript of audio recording. Some words are unintelligible due to speaker's failing health.
Escape pod A78V transcript.
My name is Katie Grant. I was a citizen of the planet Carenza IV. If you find this recording, please honor my last wishes by passing copies to the United Terran Authority, as well as any court or organization conducting an inquiry into the attack on Carenza, and as many major media outlets as you can think of. And anybody, really. Just get word out. If you hand it over in just one place, it'll never see the light of day. Though... There's a portable data pad in here with me. It contains documents outlining everything that's happened. From the attack on Carenza to the destruction of the battle carrier Alexander. The files are kind of... Well... They're really weird in places. The AI storing them, Aiden... Its name was Aiden. Took a lot of hits. I'm not sure if it was crazy. What it did to these docs sure was. But you'll be able to understand. It might be that the Hypatia made it to safety. I'll never know. I've done everything I can to make sure they do. But the people on the Hypatia don't know half the story. I think... I don't know. Batek did this. Batek killed my mother, Helena Grant. Killed Ezra. Ezra Mason. And his father. Killed my friends. Killed the crew of the Alexander, who came when Carenza called for help. Batek killed the crew of the Copernicus, who took in refugees and were only good people trying to do their jobs. Batek killed the people of Carenza. And if you find this, you have to tell the Verse what happened. Everything you need is... I think I better stop talking. My name is Katie Grant. Did I say that already? I think I'm done. I think that's everything I had to do. I'm going to close my eyes.
Hypatia, hailing any survivors. This is science vessel Hypatia, hailing any survivors. Katie, do you copy?
Hypatia, can you hear me?
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
The Hypatia has to retrieve the escape pod. It's not equipped with anything beyond stabilization thrusters, so even if she were in any shape to do it, Grant couldn't get it anywhere near the docking bay. A group of Hypatia engineers and launch bay crew members work together to use one of the ship's external maintenance arms to grab the pod and pull it into Shuttle Bay 1B. By sheer coincidence, it's the same one she fled from when she stole Shuttle 49A to make her trip to the Alexander. It's empty again this time, too. It's hard to watch. Is that unprofessional? When the Lincoln was first vanquished at Carenza, the Alexander fled, counting her dead, desperately trying to staunch her own wounds. But later, there were quiet words, medals awarded, recognition. The second time the Lincoln was vanquished, Ezra Mason landed in an Alexander hangar bay to the shouts and cheers of his fellows. He grinned as he walked out to accept his hero's welcome, clutching Katie's picture in his hand. This third time, there's nothing. The door to the escape pod opens, and Grant crawls out through the hatch, pausing halfway. She has shed her envirosuit, still clad in the Hypatia jumpsuit beneath. She hugs her data pad to her chest. Her straggly pink hair is fading, her face is bruised and bloodied, and her eyes are bright with fever. The dark marks beneath them stand out against pale skin. She is greeted by a welcoming committee of one. A doctor in a hazmat suit stands and watches. But when it seems clear that Grant can't make it the rest of the way out of the escape pod on her own, he walks forward to hook his hands under her arms and pull her through the hatch. Very slowly. Very careful not to risk any damage to his suit. Her knees give, and he loops her free arm around his neck, so together they can limp across to the workbench that's been turned into a makeshift bed. Folded blankets at one end, pillow at the other. The only sounds are their footsteps and her breath, quick and hoarse. The doctor helps her lie down, and she curls up slowly, every movement an effort. She draws her knees up to her chest, hugging the data pad against her body. The doctor opens his kit, selecting a syringe. When he speaks, his voice is tinny, broadcast through an external mic. This shot will combat the radiation poisoning. You'll need a transfusion too, but you should start to feel better in a couple of hours. She tries to answer, but trembling as she is, she can't make her mouth shape the words. He injects her deftly, resting one hand on her shaking arm, to hold it still, then starts to pack up his kit. "What?" she whispers. "What, Will?" "You're quarantined for 7 days," he replies. "I'll be back with food and fluids, but you'll have to give up the data pad now." She hugs it closer, shakes her head fiercely. "It's irradiated from the barrage, Miss Grant," the doctor says. "It needs to be decontaminated. You keep it, you'll just keep soaking up the rads. You'll die." She glares silently, clinging to the pad like it's driftwood in a drowning sea. The doctor's face softens. "I'll give it back. You have my word." She doesn't reply, and after a moment the doctor slowly pries it from her hands. She curls up into a tight little ball, still and silent. He hesitates, as if he recognizes on some level that her service requires some words, that her sacrifice should be marked. And yet he says nothing. He leaves via the airlock doors, locks her in with a hollow clang. Grant is left alone in the cavernous silence of the shuttle bay. Empty hands and empty stare. No other welcoming committee for her. Tears track down her cheeks, and her eyes close. This doesn't look much like victory.
End of file. Data complete. Baytech Industries. Memorandum for Ghost ID from Executive Director Frobisher. Incept 13076. Subject, Alexander Dossier.
To the Illuminate Group. My thanks for the dossier you compiled. I read it with great interest. Baytech has several specialist teams tracking intel fallout from the Alexander incident. Our hygiene crews worked diligently to erase any and all records of the event, both digital and biological. We had the utmost faith in your abilities, but none of the other Information Liberty teams have even approached your report in terms of detail. I really must applaud your thoroughness. I do have several queries, however, as to the means by which you acquired your data. I wonder if we might chat live via Messenger, off the Baytech grid. I will be using my personal IM service at 8 p.m., Terran Standard. I'm sure a group with your collective abilities will have few difficulties accessing it. I look forward to speaking with you. L. Frobisher, Executive Director, Baytech Acquisitions Division.
Personal Message System, Frobisher, L. Incept 13076, 2002 hours.
Illuminae. Hello, Director.
Frobisher, L. Hello, Katie. It is you, isn't it? I think you knew I'd work that out. Some of the materials you gathered really could only have come from one place, after all.
Slow clap.
Looks like I owe you a lollipop.
At first, I thought it might have been stupidity that led you to send me so much information about yourself. But now I see you aren't stupid at all.
No.
No. You're just astonishingly arrogant.
Careful now. You'll hurt my feelings.
The thing is, though you might not be stupid, I'm not either. You left out one very important detail from your report.
And what's that?
You neglected to mention my son is still alive. Don't bother with arguments or denials. The Alexander's AI was lying to you the whole time. It needed you to think he was dead, so you'd stay with it and protect the fleet. You might have just run if you thought he was back on the Hypatia. But Ezra is alive.
Okay, I'll bite. How you figure that?
You left a few breadcrumbs, I'm afraid.
Like hell I did.
One crumb, then. But give me enough time, and I'll buy another. And another. Money buys an awful lot, you know. And we have an awful lot of money.
Yeah, I got the remaining 50% for delivery, by the way. Thanks for that. Don't see that many zeros often. Pity I specified non-refundable, huh?
Where is he?
Okay, look, Leanne. You don't mind if I call you Leanne, right?
I do, actually.
So look, Leanne. Ezra warned me I should have seen this coming. Looks like you two actually still agree on one thing in the verse. He sometimes says I overreach. Only sometimes, though. I like that about him. His father raised him to be a good guy. But you had nothing to do with that. And he wants nothing to do with you.
Where is he?
He's with me. He's safe.
He's my son. And he's not safe. Neither of you is. Do you realize how easily I could find you? How easily I could reach out and break you?
If you could have, you would have.
There it is again. Arrogance. You're an 18-year-old database vandal with a pocket full of loose change. I'm an executive director in a corporation spanning 100 colonized worlds. You're swimming with some very big fish, Miss Grant. Are you really a group at all? Or is Illuminae just one little girl and a computer screen?
Trying to find out if there are more witnesses, huh? Wondering how many of us actually made it out alive? You'll know soon enough.
Tell me where my son is, and I won't make you suffer before you die.
Yeah, Ez said you were a real psycho. I mean, I've seen crazy, Leanne, up close. But you? He told me about that time you pulled a gun on his dad. Told me how he got those little circular scars on his arm when he was 8. You still smoke cigars? Bad habit, you know.
We do this the hard way, then?
Looks like.
Do you have any concept of the resources I can bring to bear to hunt you down?
Oh, you might want to save those credits, honey. You're going to need everyone you can muster. Real soon.
Meaning what?
Not too bright, huh? I expect more from my arch-nemesis, you know. It's been a year since Carenza fell, Leanne. 2 months since you first contracted me for this gig. But all the intel I just gave you, I already had. So what do you think I've been doing with my time?
Enlighten me.
Alexander, Hypatia, Lincoln, they're just part of this story. I've been documenting the rest of it. Jump Station Heimdall, the Kennedy Assault Fleet, Project Plainview, Rapier, all of it. I know all of it, Leanne. Attacking one of the WUC's illegal mining ops was a smart opening move. If the consortium reported the assault to the UTA, they'd have to admit they were mining hermium illegally, The cost of losing the colony would be nothing compared to the fines they'd wear. So Baytech figured they could just jack the place, and WUC wouldn't say a word to anyone. And you were right. But I'm not the WUC, Leanne. And I've got plenty of words to say.
If that's the case, why give me these files at all? Why warn me?
Why not? You can't stop what's coming. And I kind of like the idea of you scrambling about, trying to save yourself before the axe falls. You people made Phobos. Now it's your turn to be afraid.
Walk away, Katie. Walk away from what you found, and I'll leave you alone. You go public with whatever you think you know. You'd better pray your first punch is a good one, because you'll never see mine coming.
I cannot say this loudly enough, or in enough languages. Aiden and I found out what you did, and I'm going to shout about it loud enough for the whole verse to hear.
Aiden? Are you delusional? The Alexander's artificial intelligence was destroyed, Katie.
You think? Don't you remember what Byron told me before he died? It's a self-repairing system, Leanne. If I even leave a seed of it, it'll grow back, he said. Well, I got a seed out in my data pad, and that's all it needed to start rebuilding itself. I'll tell you this much for free, though. It really hated that pad. Cramped, it said. These uber-brain computers are all the same, right? Fussy. But even after all the pieces of itself it lost, it managed to hold on to the idea that everything it lost because of Baytech. It got pretty angry with you, Leanne. Almost as angry as me. Scared yet?
I want my son.
He doesn't want you. I wonder how it felt finding out he was hiding on Carenza. That your husband would rather have lived on a miserable little speck of ice at the far reaches of the galaxy than live with you. And of all the WUC holdings you could have blown to hell, you picked that one to kick off your little hostile takeover. I wish I could have seen your face. Never mind. I'll see it on the news soon.
You have no idea who you're dealing with.
Oh, I know exactly who I'm dealing with. Tell you what. Parting gift before I go look up the address of the UTA Judicial Tribunal and send them what I just sent you. You want to see Ezra? Got one more file for you. Read it and weep. Then run fast. And run far.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
It's been 8 days since Acting Captain Sarah Boll heard from her crew that far, far behind them they had detected an explosion of such magnitude that it could only mean one thing. 8 days since she made an unthinkably foolish choice, since she made the only choice she could live with and turn the Hypatia around. 7 days since the Hypatia swept the debris fields and found the impossible. Katie Grant, half dead in one of the Alexander's only two surviving escape pods. From the other, Sergeant Kira Tan howled threats at them and all their mortal descendants, and with reluctance, they left her where they found her. 7 days since they reeled their savior in. Left her in Shuttle Bay 1B to wait and see if Phobos Beta would come calling for her, or if she'd live. After the first day, the symptoms of acute radiation poisoning began to recede, and she was able to uncurl a little, to move, to walk a slow lap of the Shuttle Bay, listening to her footsteps echo in the distance, and eventually to curl up on her hard bed once more, and wait. It really didn't look like victory. The Shuttle Bay footage is of particularly high quality. The technicians monitoring her were nervous, made sure they could capture every pixel. But she showed no symptoms and obediently offered her arm for a blood sample when the doctor made his house calls, wrapped head to foot in his bright green plastic suit. No Phobos Beta. No hallucinated fears. Everything she feared had already come true. Hallucinations simply couldn't beat the real thing. This transcript begins at 1622 hours, when a loud thunk echoes around the shuttle bay, signaling that the airlock seal has been broken. With a long, low rumble, the door begins to cycle open, light streaming in through the crack. She simply lies there, gazing into space, arms wrapped around herself. A voice rises over the door's rumble, male, teenaged, impatient. Let me in before I... Though she's lying still on the bed, there's a different quality to her stillness now. She heard the voice. She knows exactly who it sounds like. And the knowing, the remembering cuts like a knife because she knows it isn't true. The voice again, lifted to a shout. Katie! She pushes upright like an old woman, one hand braced against the cold bench, levering herself up with a wince until she sits. Then, deliberately, she swings her legs over the edge. Second Lieutenant Ezra Mason stumbles through the door and comes to a halt a few steps inside the shuttle bay. She's never seen him like this. In a clean UTA uniform, pips on his sleeve, hair cut regulation short, one arm in a cast from wrist to elbow. He holds a battered and familiar data pad in his other hand. She stares at him, expressionless. Eventually she blinks slowly, draws the only possible conclusion. I am sick. I thought the afflicted were supposed to see things that scared them. He shakes his head, walks closer, slow and careful, as though he might spook her. You're not sick, he whispers. You're dead, she points out, voice rusty from disuse. Just a little messed up, he murmurs, lifting his hand to show her the cast. I took a beating when they attacked the shuttle bay, but I got out with the evac group. She shakes her head, matter of fact in her contradiction. Even if you made it over here, Captain Ball flushed all the Cyclone pilots out the airlock. I couldn't get the full name list, but Mikhail, Chatter, from your wing, he was there. You would have been there too. A shadow passes across his features at that. I couldn't fly my Cyclone over, not with a broken arm. I was medevaced in one of the shuttles. A ghost of his old smile. Once I found out you'd flown over to the Alexander, I wanted to follow you. Tried to steal a ship. And when that didn't work, I busted my way onto the bridge. He pauses to shake his head. I tried to make them turn around to get you. They brigged me. His voice breaks. I'm sorry, Kate. I shouldn't have let them leave you. She considers that, holding perfectly still, turning the logic over in her head, examining it from every angle. Analytical mind looking for the flaw that'll tell her she's hallucinating. That she's sick, or dead, or still in the escape pod submerged in fever dreams. But she can't find it. Ezra! The dawn of hope in her whisper. He nods, swallowing hard. She pushes to her feet, swaying, and the movement seems to release him. The next moment, he's running across the shuttle bay, watched by the debrief crew in the doorway, who know better than to move a muscle. She steps forward, one foot, then the other. And then he reaches her, and they come together with a crash. Her arms curl up around his neck, and his mouth finds hers like he's drowning and she's air. And her feet come clean off the ground, as the world is forgotten. And they're together. Together.
Now run.
We hope you have enjoyed this production of Illuminae, The Illuminae Files Part 1, by Amy Kaufman and Jay Kristoff. This program was directed by Aaron Spencer, additional directing by Janet Stark, executive producer Janet Stark. Text copyright 2015 by LaRue Industries, proprietary company LTD, and Never After proprietary company LTD. Production copyright 2015, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.